We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Election Day is here. We're going to get into some of the business dynamics and some of the political implications of today's Supreme Court race. Pat Sobolkowski, who's an adjunct assistant professor of political science at Marquette University, joins us later in the show. How many texts did you get over the weekend and yesterday? I counted up on my phone. Just Sunday alone, I had 14 different texts from both sides. I think 8 from the Schimmel camp, 6 from Crawford on Sunday alone. They slowed down a little bit yesterday, only got about 4. But I did yesterday finally get that fake phishing scam text that starts with, you have an outstanding toll. Your toll account balance is outstanding. If you fail to pay by April 2nd, 2025, you'll be penalized or subject to legal action. Have you gotten that one? If you do, my public service message here, do not engage with that message. You can report it to the Consumer Protection webpage at consumerprotection.wi.gov or make a phone call. It's 800-422-7128. At the end of this scam is a link that takes you to an imposter toll payment portal. It looks 100% legitimate, but controlled by a scammer. So do not engage with those texts for sure. So it's a buyer beware day every day, but for sure the volume of texts is amplifying. So make sure you are monitoring your phone. As we do each and every morning, we're going to go 2 up.
Now it's time for the 2 up on The Upswing.
2 up, 2 things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. First up, some gaslight building woes. You know the gaslight building in beautiful downtown Milwaukee here? It has been this beacon with a 21-foot-tall decorative glass flame that was added to the building in 1956. The building itself was completed in 1930 as the headquarters for the Wisconsin Gas Company. Why the woes? Well, the building is being sold at foreclosure auction that is set for April 21st. A $14 million default foreclosure judgment was issued in January by a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge against the building owner, who is Gaslight Milwaukee LLC, an affiliate of a Chicago-based M&J Wilco Limited. I'm guessing that's probably going to be sold to the out-of-state lender. But the interesting thing here is that the underused building's main anchor tenant is the U.S. Forest Service, which is facing a bunch of cuts from the Trump administration in their spending cuts through DOGE. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the future of this iconic building. You know the rhyme, right? The rhyme kind of, I got to tell you, it's when the flame is red, it's warm weather ahead. When the flame is gold, watch out for cold. When the flame is blue, there's no change in view. When there's agitation, expect precipitation, which we're expecting in the weather later today. Second up, just a quick note on Aldi and Trader Joe's. Both these companies are owned by German brothers, right? But they're seeing a big increase in foot traffic. This is according to a recent report from Placer.ai. Both places have seen an increase of more than 13.5% in foot traffic this year. 13.5% at Aldi alone. Who's shopping at these stores? Trader Joe's shoppers tend to be higher income, according to Placer's new data. Compared to the median household income of about $82,000 for supermarket chains nationally, Trader Joe's is at $110,000 for its average shopper. The Aldi was a little lower at $75,700, but both places are seeing a big increase in foot traffic. Maybe a sign of what's ahead in these tricky yet somewhat uncertain economic times. When we come back, I got to touch a bit on April Fool's Day to make sure you are aware of what's happening. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.
I'm a joker. I'm a smoker. I'm a midnight toker. I give my love and all.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. From the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620. From the 414, someone asking for me to repeat the consumer protection hotline number. I'm going to do that because this phishing scam that's being targeted around tolls, it's coming fast and furious. I got it on Monday, and I've seen it come through a lot of people that I know. So that number is 800-422-7128. That is the Consumer Protection Hotline at the state of Wisconsin. So be mindful today. It is, of course, Election Day, but it's also April Fool's Day. So be mindful as you read and listen and share content on and offline. How do you feel about April Fool's jokes and pranks and stories? I'll tell you a quick story here. Over the years, one of the co-founders of OnMilwaukee.com, going back years, we decided, hey, it might be a fun opportunity for us to position an upstart digital media company to do our own kind of creative local take on The Onion. So we started doing April Fool's features, you know, totally fun, a bit in your face stories that obviously were not true, but were massively exaggerated through the use of creative photography that we used, you know, AI, a little bit, some creative photoshopping, if you will, and other skills to make sure that the photos were really fun and vibrant. Now, this was always, this is a multi-month operation, right? We came up with the ideas. We found ways to have a whole lot of fun, maybe poke a little fun at the city we loved through this media vehicle. My quick story, one of the stories we did focused on the Betty Brin Children's Museum, which I love, which is downtown Milwaukee here at O'Donnell Park, right on Milwaukee's beautiful lakefront. Betty Brin has all these amazing branded exhibits for kids, right? They have a Sendix mini grocery store. There's a local auto dealer with a mechanic and a showroom. Palermo's Pizza, actually very new. Palermo's Pizza now has a new interactive exhibit there where kids can make their own pizzas and kind of be a part of the pizzeria experience. But oftentimes, there's some stressed out parents, right? At Betty Brin. It's an amazing place. I love it to death. But we thought, all right, maybe we could poke a little fun, have a little bit of fun, and do a story with the headline, Betty Brin to create a new Betty Bar. So we did that, and we mocked up a bar with parents drinking and doing shots and kids kind of running around the whole place. The little catch here, this entire story went out to an email database to the National Children's Museum years and years ago. I got a lot of creative calls that day from the marketing people and from the board of directors of the Betty Brin Children's Museum saying they weren't too happy about this. But you know what it did? It provided a ton of branding opportunities and some fun storytelling around the Betty Brin Children's Museum. It was a bit of lemons to lemonade, too. I had the opportunity through this to join the marketing committee at the Betty Brin Children's Museum and help them with some of their marketing efforts and to amplify their sponsorship. Eventually, I got on the board at the Betty Brin Children's Museum. And it was, you know, at the time when it happened, we were all a little scared. Oh my gosh, Betty Brin's mad at us because of April Fool's. But it led to a good civic improvement, some fun storytelling, and we got to amplify a place that all means a ton to us. The Betty Brin Children's Museum, just a little side note here, is inviting the community to play and explore at its 30-year Be a Kid Ball fundraising gala. It's coming up June 5th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Pfister Hotel. It's always an amazing event. It's a wonderful institution. Maybe you're on spring break still. Take the kids to Betty Brenn. Coming up next, I got three stories for you. TikTok, Brewers walk-up music, and a new retractable roof in Milwaukee. You're listening to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. So we are back at another deadline for TikTok. And we talk about commerce and community. It's what we do on this show. TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is on the hook again to sell the app's U.S. operations by April 5th. That's this week. So President Trump extended the deadline in January. If they don't sell by April 5th, I'm guessing they'll either extend the deadline or the app could face another ban in the United States. So as this ban looms, Substack, you know what Substack is? A lot of content creators, journalists, celebrities are moving to Substack for blogging is a bit of an outdated term, but for writing, for content creation, and specifically for newsletter distribution. So back in January, the Substack CEO said that his company was going to rescue the smart people from TikTok. And a lot of people were like, huh, what does that mean? What could Substack be doing that could compete with TikTok? Well, here's the deal. Yesterday, Substack announced that it's rolling out a scrollable video feed in its app. And given the timing of what's coming possibly with TikTok, it appears that Substack's pretty eager to maybe fill a potential void if TikTok suddenly gets banned this time around. Substack launched video in 2022. They went away from it. They redesigned. But now they're going to offer a scrollable TikTok-style feed featuring short-term videos, all under 10 minutes, with longer-form content and podcast previews expected to follow. So Substack becoming more of a one-stop shop for all types of content. Adding video is going to be a really interesting play for the company. As of February, 82% of the platform's top earning writers are using multimedia in some way, shape, or form on some platforms. And that number was 50% 2 months ago. So the increase of short form video on whatever platform it is, it's coming. Substack hopes to continue to build on this momentum. So if you're a user of Substack, or maybe you have your own email newsletter that you publish there, add video. It's going to boost it. It's going to enhance it. Next up, are you an Apple Music user? The student rate for Apple Music is, I think it's $5.99 a month now. Individuals are about $10.99 a month. You can try it for free for a month. I think the family plan, that's what we have at the Sherman household, $16.99 a month. I was scrolling yesterday through Apple Music, and I went to the sports section. So if you go to search on your Apple Music, you click on sports, you're going to see all the Major League Baseball walk-up playlists for every team. And I thought this was really a creative thing. They don't list the players, but every song is represented. In the Brewers' case, there are 45 different songs. It's really cool. Gives you 3 hours and 11 minutes of Brewers walk-up music. We could use a little something to boost the bats on the Brewers' end. So if you're an Apple Music subscriber, I highly recommend going to the sports section, scrolling down, finding the MLB playlists, and just clicking and putting those Brewers walk-up music songs on your phone. We need it, and our team needs it as well. Finally here, there's a new retractable moving roof coming to downtown Milwaukee. We're thankful, of course, that there's a roof at American Family Field. But Cafe Benelux in the Third Ward is renovating its rooftop patio with a retractable glass that's going to cover the entire southern third of the rooftop. If you've been down to the historic Third Ward, you know that Benelux really activates its rooftop well. It's a beautiful space, but this new design is going to replace the tent that's currently on the rooftop at the restaurant with this glass rollover cover enclosure. News release yesterday that I saw said the redesign is the first of its kind for downtown Milwaukee. Lowlands Group is going to install this right now. It's actually the construction work has begun. The new rooftop space is expected to be completed by May. A really cool, as the owner of Lowlands Group, Eric Wagner, said, the rooftop reno is about creating a space that's inviting and enjoyable in inclement winter as it is in summer. The roof and the walls in the new enclosure open to the east and the west. They're going to let fresh air and sunshine in. It's a wonderful, amazing space. And it's really cool to see another retractable roof coming to our great city of Milwaukee. Check it out for sure. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Today's Wisconsin Supreme Court race is the most expensive state Supreme Court race on record, seeing $75.8 million in ad spend, 89% more than the second place 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court contest. This is according to ad tracking firm Ad Impact. Groups affiliated with Elon Musk have spent $18.2 million backing Brad Schimmel in the election, according to filings cited by Brennan Center for Justice, with more than $12.2 million of that coming from Musk's America PAC, which he used during the presidential election, obviously to back President Trump. Advertisers backing Susan Crawford have, I think it's an $8.4 million ad advantage overall. So lots of money being spent in this election. I wanted to get some implications as to business and policy. So joining us on the phone is Pat Sobolkowski, an adjunct assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. Patrick, I appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Of course. So I just kind of want to level set around the election. Obviously, record-breaking spending. What does it reflect in terms of broader trends in judicial races across the country?
That's a really good question. So I think a big part of it, frankly, is people are starting to see that the judiciary, whether it's at the federal level or at the state level, really matters. Whether we like it or not, a lot of really important political questions that we face as a nation ultimately end up becoming, for all intents and purposes, legal questions. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, the spending reflects, acknowledgement of that fact.
When we drill it down on a local level, Professor, you see this race as a referendum on the first several days of the Trump administration, or more so on Musk's political influence?
That's hard to say. I think it's the case that Crawford is trying to frame it that way as a referendum on both Trump and for sure Musk with his really extensive spending to back Schimmel mm-hmm. in the election. But I think it's hard to say. I think it's certainly the case that there's a noticeable effect when Trump is on the ballot, formally on the ballot versus when he's not. And so, whether it's actually a referendum on Trump himself, I think remains to be seen. I think the case is probably better that, just based on the ads and so on and so forth, that people are, it's being framed as pushback against what Musk has been doing as a member of DOGE in the federal government now.
You think it continues to shape the political landscape for the upcoming midterms and even you know, will the results here and maybe in Florida, will they be a little early indicator of 2028?
I hesitate to say whether we can take this as a surefire indicator for 2028. That's still pretty far off in the distance. I think that there's a case to be made that it's, you know, it could either, you know, if you are a Democrat or you know, somebody who is sympathetic, or maybe just frankly opposed to what Musk and or Trump have been doing in their first couple of months in office, you know, you could take it as a good sign, depending on, you know, things like voter turnout and whether Crawford wins or loses, or you could take it as a really bad sign because, you know, if something happens and Schimmel wins, and maybe it's not particularly close, maybe you take that as, you know, people are buying into what Trump and Musk are doing right now. Mm-hmm. So it could be a good sign or a bad sign, frankly, depending on, you know, your own political views.
When we come back, I want to talk about the statewide referendum for voter ID and talk a little bit more about that, Patrick. Just that, the early voter turnout and what that surge means in this campaign. We're talking with Patrick Sobolkowski, an adjunct professor of political science at Marquette University. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherbin, and we are talking with Pat Sobolkowski from Marquette University. Professor, I appreciate your time this morning. So I wanted to dive in on the statewide referendum a bit. Referendum is asking about voter ID. It's a decade-old rule in Wisconsin that requires voters to show photo identification at polls or when requesting the absentee ballot. Now, the question isn't asking voters whether to get rid or to keep voter ID. It will remain in place regardless of the results. But it's asking, should essentially it make the law permanent by adding it to the state constitution? I wanted to get your impressions on how a more strict voter ID laws could be a barrier to Wisconsin moving forward in terms of influence, not only this election, but for future elections.
Yeah, so my sense is that amending the state constitution to include this voter ID requirement, that's going to make it harder for people to vote. Some people don't have a driver's license. Some people, you know, maybe don't have a valid state ID. And, you know, some people who support these types of laws would say, well, you know, it's their responsibility as citizens to obtain and then maintain a valid ID. But I think that ignores, you know, economic barriers and other types of factors, sociological, economic factors. And frankly, I think that it's better if more people are able to vote rather than less. We live in a representative democracy. Mm-hmm. And I think that it should be relatively easy for people to vote. That's my general sense. Yeah. I think it would be a bad thing.
Well, let's kind of turn the page a little bit to the business side. I mean, you see things from the political lens, from your legal lens, and, you know, I can think also at stake here is from a small business standpoint, you see, you know, inflation, you see higher costs, you see higher health care coming. You see this election having any influence on policies that affect small business owners?
I think that any influence or effect from this election would be somewhat attenuated. A lot of these things like inflation, you know, high energy costs, healthcare expenses, these aren't exclusively state level issues. Mm-hmm. And specifically, they're not Wisconsin State Supreme Court issues. These are much broader than the state of Wisconsin in terms of, you know, policy and those types of things. I think that the real answer to the question probably goes back to an earlier question in our discussion, which is, you know, is this a referendum on Trump's first few months and or Elon Musk's involvement in the federal government? Again, I think that question, or the answer to that question, remains to be seen. Maybe it's the case that if Crawford wins in resounding fashion, maybe that encourages Trump to sort of cut back on things like on tariffs and other things. But that, you know, relies on him making the connection between an electoral victory for Democrats right now and, you know, his policies. And I think that it's, let's say, an open question whether he's able to make that type of connection, or even willing to acknowledge it, assuming he can make the connection.
Very good. I appreciate your time and insights this morning, Professor. Enjoy the rest of the day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All righty. Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Coming up next, a warm welcome to the new chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and I have an idea to put on his first 100 days. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I want to extend a warm, heartfelt Milwaukee welcome to the new chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Dr. Thomas Gibson. I always say that Milwaukee is a college town in so many ways. The density of colleges and universities and institutions of higher education here, we punch way above our weight, and the collaboration of all the universities really shows in the business world here. Dr. Gibson has been the chancellor at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point since 2021. A really interesting item here: he raised over $10 million from Century Insurance to build the Century School of Business and Economics when he was there, really enhanced the College of Natural Resources research, did a bunch of work on internships, just a true innovator at Stevens Point. I'm excited to have him here in Milwaukee. If I could put one item on his first 100 days, I mean, this is a big one, but I've advocated for this for years. How about we look at creating a plan to close Maryland Avenue through the UWM campus, right? The university is a little bit landlocked for expansion, so why not just create more land, especially in the heart of that campus? You close Maryland Avenue between Kenwood and Hartford, maybe even all the way to Newport. You grass over it and you create more of a community campus feel there. I think it would be really beneficial to continue to grow the creative space that is the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. No matter what, again, a warm welcome to Dr. Thomas Gibson, the new chancellor at UWM. Friendly reminder today, the polls are open from, obviously, right now. They opened at 7 a.m. I always think like the polls should open at like 6 or 5:30, but that's just me. They're open till 8 p.m. today. You have to have a Wisconsin valid ID, and you can also same-day register at the polls today. Make sure to bring a proof of residence document, if you're going to register at the polls today, that showcases your current address. Could be a utility bill, could be a pay stub or a lease, whatever. You can register at the polls today if you're not already registered. The polls are open until 8 p.m. Coming up next, Wisconsin's midday news. But first, let's do some local business headlines.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents unanimously appoint Thomas Gibson as the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's 10th chancellor. Gibson is currently the chancellor at UW Stevens Point and will assume the role at UWM around or on July 1st. Kohl's CEO Ashley Buchanan earns $20.9 million in fiscal year 2024. In comparison, outgoing CEO Thomas Kingsbury earned $11 million in total compensation for the fiscal year. During his Thanalysis live event Saturday, Thanasis announces he's back to full health after tearing his Achilles tendon last May. Giannis also announces the birth of his fourth child, a daughter, during the event. I'm Logan Hansen for MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.